that we're talking about. So the Alter Rebbe had been telling us in the last chapters that we're reading that Hashem loves us so much. In other words, we were talking about this idea of us developing a real excitement about Torah, excitement about mitzvahs, excitement about being Jewish. In the language of our Torah, it's v'ahavta es Hashem. You should love Hashem. You should be excited about Torah mitzvahs. You shouldn't be kicking and dragging. You know, Nebuch, I have to do this. After all, I'm Jewish, and what am I going to do? And I need protection, and I need this, and I need that, and I feel obligation. That's not the way to go through life as a Jew. You should be excited. It's just like the biggest gift. So this is called avas Hashem, to love Hashem, to be excited about Torah mitzvahs. And of course, that's what we were speaking about for many chapters, as you recall, in this section of Tanya. Different methodologies to love Hashem, think about this, think about that, recognize this, recognize that. And then the Alter Rebbe said that just love Hashem because Hashem loves you. And the more that you think you're unworthy, the greater you will feel that Hashem is doing the favor for you. The more worthy, the more you deserve. The less you deserve, and Hashem still gives us all the stuff. How much more so should we be grateful? Now, the Rebbe, of course, gave the example of a great king, a powerful king, who leaves his palace, and he goes and he finds this guy in the dump, and he takes him back to his palace, and he cleans him up, and he brings him in, and elevates him. So how much more so should we be grateful to Hashem? You know, this is whatever you can imagine about a king and a bum in the dump. This the relationship is infinitely, not even close when it comes to the creator of the universe and us human beings. And yet Hashem is so involved with us. So that's what we were talking about, of course, in the previous chapters. And then in chapter 48, the Alter Rebbe says, we started talking about on the mystical level, and we explained concepts that we have already been speaking about throughout Tanya, but the Alter Rebbe now in these chapters is giving us a little more explanation. That means on the technical side. In other words, we told the story and we quoted from sources, of course, and previous chapters, but now the Alter Rebbe is telling us on the Kabbalistic side, on the technical side, what does it mean that Hashem is a great king and leaves his place and elevates us? And in general, the Alter Rebbe explained to us that these are two terms that are used in the Zohar and in the writings of the Kabbalah, and that's called Sovev Kol Almin and Memale Kol Almin. Sovev Kol Almin and Memale Kol Almin. Sovev, and they're shortened down to Sovev and Memale. And what that means is Sovev Kol Almin is a combination of Hebrew and Aramaic, which means Sovev, it surrounds Kol Almin, all the worlds, all the levels. Hashem's energy that encompasses, that surrounds the levels. And then there's a second level of energy that Hashem gives us to the world, and that's called Mimale, which means it fills up Kol Almin, all the levels, all the worlds. So in short, we call this Sovev and Memale. Sovev and Memale. Memale and Sovev. Sovev and Memale. Two very, very basic concepts. And the Alter Rebbe explains to us that Hashem creates the world with two almost contradictory energy streams, energy flows. One of them is unlimited energy, powerful energy. The energy which is completely infinite, and we as humans, we don't even know what the word infinite means. When we say infinite, we imagine, let's say, infinite drops of water in the ocean, infinite grains of sand on the beach, infinite stars in the sky. But that's not infinite, because as soon as you can break down the largest number into units, immediately, it's not infinite. It may be a lot of finite, and so much so that we simply don't have the capacity to even count it, but it's not infinite. Infinite means something that does not have any limitation whatsoever, cannot be broken down into units, cannot be even described, because a description is a limitation of something. A description is a way to separate one thing from another thing. We say this is yellow, this is blue, this is green, this is purple, this is orange, this is high tone of voice, low tone of voice, fat, small, tall, skinny. It doesn't matter. Huge whale, huge ocean liner, small boat. This, once you describe something, you break it down. You make it less infinite. As a matter of fact, our sages, our Chachamim, tell us that we have no right to say in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the prayer that we say, mentioning Hashem's greatness, that Hashem is Hakel HaGadol, the great God, HaGibor, the mighty God, VeHaNoro, the awesome God. How do we have the right to call Hashem by adjectives? Because once we call Hashem by an adjective, that also, it's a description. It's our human, puny, tiny, infinitesimal brain that's trying to grasp the greatness of Hashem. And even if we try to use language that we think is so unbelievable and amazingly complimentary, at the end of the day, we are cutting down what Hashem is. We, in our my Hashem is great. That's what Hashem is. Hashem is infinite. So the Gemara asks this question: how can we have chutzpah to say that? And the Gemara answers: we're simply quoting what the prophets, what the Nevi'im said, what the prophet said. All right, fine. So we get away with what the Nevi'im said. Otherwise, we would have no ability to even start describing and calling Hashem great. So that is one level of Hashem's energy. And in shorthand, the term for that that they use in the Zohar and in the writings of the Kabbalists is sovev energy. Sovev energy, encompassing energy, energy that is so powerful that it is infinite, that it cannot enter into the levels, it cannot enter into the whatever level it is. It's just as infinite here as it is in the origin, and the travel of the energy from the highest levels to the lowest levels, meaning from the source of creation, source of Hashem, the highest levels, even greater than the angels, all the way down to this physical world, which is obviously a world where Hashem's presence is concealed, and there's evil stuff happening and terrible stuff happening. So Hashem's presence is concealed, and there's wicked people and so on. Still, Hashem's energy is absolutely unchanged, just as infinite. That's the Sovev energy. Then the Alter Rebbe explained that there is another level of energy, and that's called the Memale energy. And again, it's a short for Memale Kol Almin, the energy that enters into the levels, the energy that Hashem does, in the language of the Kabbalists, contract, squeeze. Hashem takes this infinite energy, which again, as we just said, infinite energy doesn't mean a lot. It means infinite. It means absolutely uncontractable. It means absolutely impossible to put even into the biggest vessel. Hashem can do anything. So Hashem puts it into a vessel. This is a mystery of creation. And Hashem puts his energy, which otherwise is absolutely impossible to go into any vessel. Hashem says, I can do anything. I'm God. And Hashem puts it into the vessels, into the pipeline. And the Alter Rebbe describes in chapter 48, and this is not the first place, but the Alter Rebbe does describe here a little more detail. In chapter 48, the three levels, the three stages, actually, I'm actually ready in chapter 49, the three stages, the three levels of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. The Rebbe says there are four worlds in general. Top world is called the world of Atzilus, the stage of Atzilus. We're in the stage of Atzilus. The energy, even though it's been placed in vessels, is still infinite. It has not been squeezed that much, not been contracted that much. Once it reaches the next step, after the world of Atzilus, and again, these are just poetic terms for stages of the contraction of Hashem's energy along this travel that we are calling Mimale energy, the energy that enters in the world. So the energy is contracted in the top world of Atzilus. It's still infinite, but somehow mystically, And later in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe will have a whole chapter trying to explaining to us to the best of and trying to get us to understand to the best of our ability, how does this exactly work, that infinite energy goes into vessels, infinite energy is able to be contained in containers, infinite in a finite container, and ultimately, in the language of the Zohar, this is the complete mystery of Hashem's spiritual abilities, Hashem's abilities. But at any rate, this is what our prophets tell us, our Nevi'im, our prophets tell us, and our great Kabbalists were able to see these things, and they had these concepts handed down to them from first generations, from Adam, first man, to Abraham, and to Yitzhak and Yaakov, and Moshe and Aaron, and the great Kabbalists had this tradition of how this energy works, and eventually it was written down in a book called the Zohar, and we've spoken about this in the past, obviously. And the Arizal, who lived in the 1500s in Sfas, is one who started to explain it and get more detail and yet more granular ability for us to understand more and more. But these are concepts that we have had from the earliest times. How does Hashem create the world? How does Hashem's energy work? So again, we have the Sovev energy, which is the unlimited energy that encompasses, and it's called Sovev in a poetic way. It means just like a thought cannot go into, you can't say you can grasp a thought. You can understand a thought. And if you have a thought that's greater than your understanding, then it's just slightly out of reach, out of grasp. So Sovev is too powerful for us to grasp, for the energy to go into the levels that it is inhabiting. And then you have the Memale energy, the energy that Hashem does squeeze into the levels. And again, the first level is Atzilus, the second level is Bria, then comes Yetzira, then comes Asiya. The Alter Rebbe is explaining this to us to build up to the second half of chapter 49, which is what we're up to right now. So the second half of chapter 49, and I'll share the screen. Let me find the screen. Alter Rebbe is telling us as follows. And again, it's not just, you have to understand, and this is a general thing, which of course we've spoken about in the past, and that is, what's the purpose of studying Kabbalah? What is the purpose of Hashem giving us this information in the first place, and then us studying? So the answer is, the reason to study Kabbalah, the reason to study about these mystical levels, is multiple reasons. Reason number one, Hashem wants us to know him. Just like a parent would want a child to appreciate who they really are. A real loving parent doesn't want the kid not to know them. We're talking about a noble parent, a parent of great accomplishment, not like us, you understand, but somebody with real great accomplishment, with real fine character. You want your kid to be able to, you want your kid to grow. You want your kid to be, to become a different, better person. And you want them to know what you've accomplished, what you've done, and so on. Hashem wants us to know him. And it says so in the Chumash. It says, Da es Elokei Avicha. Know the God of your fathers. Understand how Hashem works. So that itself is a mitzvah. That's fulfilling Hashem's will, just like every other mitzvah. Hashem wants us to have a mezuzah. Hashem wants us to keep Shabbat, to have it kosher. Hashem wants us to know his powers. That's what it says in the Chumash. So that itself is a mitzvah. You're making Hashem happy by studying about these concepts. The next, of course, obvious advantage of studying Kabbalah is it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of believing in Hashem, which is emunas Hashem, belief in Hashem is a mitzvah, unless you know what is God. What is Hashem? Many people have misconceptions. What does it mean, God? What does it mean, the Creator? How does the Creator create? How is the relationship between the Creator and the world? And so on. Unless you study Kabbalah and Chassidus, which is the explanation of Kabbalah, through the great Hasidic Rebbes, you don't, it's impossible. It's like literally impossible. You can imagine what God is, but then you have some kind of a Hollywood message, and you don't understand really what is Hashem. What does it mean, the unity of Hashem? We say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does it mean, one God? What does it mean, unity? After all, isn't there a world? Does Hashem know it's, is there God even when there's evil? Is there not God? As we're going to see, that the of course, this was even by great rabbis who did not study, who studied Kabbalah, but didn't study Kabbalah properly. They were confused when it came to this question. Is Hashem everywhere, really? Or maybe by evil, there is, maybe Hashem is not there. Maybe Hashem is, hiding, running away. We don't believe that, God forbid. We believe Hashem is infinite and everywhere. So that is another reason to have a clear understanding of what does Hashem mean and what does God mean and what is the unity of Hashem. We are specifically, however, in this chapter, chapter 49, we're focusing on the study of the mystical powers and the mystical ways Hashem created the energies and so on of creating the world in order for us to become motivated to have complete and utter dedication to our mission. So it's a little more selfish, not so highfalutin, just because Hashem, just to know Hashem, just to know the thing, but it's also in fulfillment of our mission. And Hashem wants us to do our mission. And the Alter Rebbe, therefore, is explaining to us in these chapters, 48 and 49, and we're sort of in the second half of 49, the fulfillment of the first pasuk of the Shema. What does it say in the first pasuk of the Shema? It says, V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem. Doesn't say just plain love Hashem. It says, B'chol levavcha, with all of your heart, and it actually says in the plural, with your hearts, uvechol nafshecha, with all of your soul, uvechol miodecha, with all of your possessions, all of your money, all your wealth. So love Hashem with your heart, love Hashem with your soul, love Hashem with your money. That's what it says in the Shema. It's an obligation for every single Jew, man, woman, and child, right? What does this mean to love Hashem with your heart? The Rebbe explains to us, those things that are the nearest and dearest to us many times stop us from fulfilling the Torah because we make all kinds of excuses. I have to do this for my family. I have to do this, for that, for this reason, that reason. We don't realize that the best thing we could do for our family is to actually make a sacrifice for Torah. You say, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. So this is the first thing. B'chol nafshecha, the Alter Rebbe translates, is very simple. Is what the Gemara tells us is with your soul, even your very life. Even if it costs you your life, you're supposed to be completely dedicated. B'chol moedecha, obviously, with your money, is clear. Even if it's more expensive, giving tzedakah is difficult. Even if it's more expensive to live a Jewish life, it's difficult. Yet we're supposed to worship Hashem. The Alter Rebbe, however, asked a question, if you recall, in the beginning of chapter 49. The Alter Rebbe said that in the davening, before we say the Shema in the morning, and also in the evening, but the Alter Rebbe is talking here about the morning right now, our sages, when they wrote the Siddur 2,500 years ago, they wrote, and they were great prophets, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the sages who wrote the Siddur, they scripted blessings for every mitzvah. Every time we do a mitzvah, they gave us a blessing to say beforehand. The blessing before a mitzvah, if you look at the text of that blessing, it talks about the mitzvah you're about to do. You're about to light Shabbat candles. It says, blessed are you, Hashem, who gives us the mitzvah, lighting Shabbos candles. You're going to do any other, any other mitzvah. So blessed are you, Hashem, who gives the mitzvah to do exactly this. And then you do the mitzvah. When it comes to reading the Shema in the morning, that's a mitzvah. It seems that our sages, the Alter Rebbe said, scripted a blessing that is not really relevant to the Shema. Why? Because when you read the text of the blessing, exactly two blessings, two brachos that we say in the morning before reading the Shema, and then another bracha after reading the Shema, and the brachos talking about angels. They're talking about how the angels in heaven are so excited and the angels in heaven are praising Hashem and they're jumping up and down, and they're called seraphim, they're called angels that are fiery angels because they're burnt up with excitement, with passion, and with awe and fear and dread, all kinds of different angels. The Alter Rebbe says, what does this have to do with the Shema, with us loving Hashem? And the Alter Rebbe says, very simple. If you see how the angels are treating Hashem and they understand what's happening, how much more so should we humans be motivated to have this type of attitude of awe and excitement and fear and dread and all everything wrapped up in one? Then the Alter Rebbe says, what about the second blessing? The second blessing talks about Ahavas Olam. Then follows the second blessing, which declares Hashem's great love for the Jewish people. Now, if you remember, back in chapter 43, we were talking about two different types of love that we Jews can have for Hashem. We talked about a love called Ahavas Olam and a love called Ahava Rabbah. And we said that Ahavas Olam is a love that we develop for Hashem when we meditate, contemplate, and think about how Hashem creates such an amazing world. So if Hashem is so powerful and so awesome and creates such an amazing world with so many different creatures and so many mountains and skies and oceans and galaxies and who knows what, and then you read about even at the molecular level, now the atoms and the molecules and the DNA and all kinds of amazing, amazing creation. So by looking at Olam, which means the world, and by thinking about, wow, look what Hashem did for us, gave us such an amazing world, and look at the intricacies of creation. This is just a play, and it truly is unbelievably amazing. All right, that goes without saying, the universe, nature. So you develop a love for Hashem. This is the creator of all these amazing things. It's unbelievable. That's called Ahavas Olam. Now, the Rebbe explained to us that Ahavas Olam is limited because it is limited by our understanding. It's limited by our understanding of the world. And we actually said that there's two levels in Ahavas Olam. There's a level that's limited by our emotion, a level that is more intellectual. But at any rate, it is limited. And then the Alter Rebbe said there's something called Ahava Rabbah. And Ahava Rabbah is a great love for Hashem. And that, we said, is something that only great tzaddikim are able to attain. And it's a love for Hashem that is not based on any kind of material understanding or physical something. It's an attachment of the neshama, of the soul, to its source, and recognizing the greatness of the of and having zero pull towards materialistic of anything. All the person wants is simply being wrapped up in the spiritual. There's nothing in the material world that has any attraction for you. This is something Alter Rebbe says that we'll each attain when Mashiach comes, but until then, it's only the playground, so to speak, of the great tzaddikim. Ava Rabba, the great love. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us that there is actually, in the beginning of this blessing of the Shema, there's a very fascinating statement. It says, Ahavas Olam Ahavtanu. Hashem, you have loved us with Ahavas Olam. Now, I should tell you that there's actually two different versions of this blessing. The version the Alter Rebbe chooses is to say Ahavas Olam, which seems to be astonishing. If we're trying to say that Hashem loves us on such an amazing level, because that's what this blessing is going to say, that we're Hashem, you loved us to such an incredible degree. So why would we say Ahavas Olam? Why would we say Hashem, you've loved us in a limited way? Olam is the world, in the universe, the nature. We should say Ahava Rabbah. Hashem, you've loved us with a great love. Alter Rebbe explains to us that paradoxically, by saying Ahavas Olam, Hashem, you've loved us with the love of Olam, we are actually saying a statement that is yet greater than Ahava Rabbah, than the unlimited level of love. And that is because what we're essentially saying is, Hashem, you have compacted all of your infiniteness into our space. Hashem, because you loved us so much, you've taken your infinity and you have contracted it. Why would Hashem do the painful thing? And just think to yourself, if you're trying to squeeze into a small space, it's painful. Why would you be squeezing in a small space? You imagine yourself, you have this little kid that's under the table and crying or whatever it is, and you wanted to comfort the kid. So you're an adult, so you get down on the floor, you go under the table, and you give the kid a hug. It's not easy. Better to, it, just the other way to do that is to pick the kid up, right? But you want that the kid should feel comfortable. You pick the kid up, and the kid is all of a sudden, well, you're taking me out of my comfort zone right away. Before you're even comforting me, you're taking me out of my comfort zone. I don't like that. So what does the adult do? Squeezes himself or herself down into a ball, gets under the table, sits there and gives the kid a hug. Hashem does exactly the same thing to us, Delta Rebbe says. Hashem takes his infinite capacity, squeezes it into nature, squeezes it into the world. And this is why, because he loves us, because he wants to show us how special we are, how much he loves us, how he wants to be with us. So there's two ways to look at it. One, he could elevate us, and then we're with him. The other is Hashem can come down to us, to our level. That's even a yet a greater love. So yes, it's a contraction. It's Avas Olam. It's not Ava Rabba. But it shows Hashem's love for us. So is it which one is greater? Ava Rabba. Which one is more loving? Is Avas Olam. So this is Hashem, your Lord, you have love with everlasting love. That is, he set aside all the supernal holy hosts, the heavenly angels. He does not spend time with the angels all day long. Hashem's focus, Hashem's energy, creator of the world, could spend time with angels. He wants to spend time with us simple Jews. He wants to take a look. What are the Jews doing? What are the Jews, you know, every little thing, Ashkacha Pratiyus, divine providence. Hashem caused this Shekhinah to dwell upon us. Hashem tells us that when you have tzaris, I have tzaris. Why would Hashem say such a thing? Because he loves us so much. So that he should be called our God, in the same sense he is called the God of Abraham. The same sense that Hashem was united with Abraham, who was the most incredible tzaddik, completely selfless. The same as Hashem wants that every single to have that same relationship with us, every single Jew. Hashem says, not just Abraham. I want to have the same relationship that I had with Abraham and that I continue to have with Abraham. I want that relationship with every single individual Jew. And that's why it's called Elokeinu, our God, Velokei Abraham, and the God of Abraham. Hashem says, I want to be the God of every single Jew. And this is in the language of the Gemara because love impels the flesh. I don't know what impel here means. Love squeezes and contracts the flesh. Doesn't matter if a person loves somebody else, you can squeeze into the smallest space and you make it happen. And you're able to be with the person. That's what happens. Therefore, this love on Hashem's part is called Avas Olam, literally love of the world. It refers to the contraction of Hashem's infinite light. By assuming the garb of finitude, this fancy way of saying by Hashem becoming, taking his energy and making it from infinite, making it finite. And this is a poetic way we say this olam. The concept of world signifies the finiteness of space and time. Hashem brings about this contraction because he loves Israel. He wants to bring them near to him so that we should be absorbed in his blessed unity and his oneness through Torah mitzvahs. And that's why in this second blessing before the Shema, we continue. And the Alter Rebbe is now going to explain to us a few of the phrases in this second blessing. It says, Chemla gedola v'yisera, exceeding and abounding compassion you have bestowed upon us. That means more than the love that you show to any of the angels, to any of the high levels where your energy is evident. You have squeezed your energy, you have concealed your energy in order for us to be able to exist, in order for us to be able to do mitzvahs and to be able to elevate ourselves. And the bracha continues. This is again the second bracha before we say the Shema in the morning. It says, Uvanu v'charta mikolam v'loshon, you have chosen us from among all the nations, from all the languages. The Alter Rebbe says, what do you mean you have chosen us? What does this refer to? Does it refer to Hashem choosing us, our neshama, our soul? Or does it refer to Hashem choosing our body? The Alter Rebbe says, no, this refers to our body. Hashem chose which body should become a Jew and which body should be not a Jew. Amazing. Alter Rebbe says, fascinating, 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 powerful, powerful term here, language. Alter Rebbe says, Hashem chose our material body, which in its physical aspect is similar to the body of the Gentiles of the world. That means our bodies are not the same. In fact, they're not the same. But its material aspect, when you look at it, you go to the doctor and you take your DNA, and you take your blood, and you take your this, it looks the same. You can't tell the difference when you're doing a physical test. But if you look at the spiritual energy, that is what you can't tell in a doctor's exam, in a pathology exam, that you can't tell. That tzaddikim can take a look. A tzaddik can take a look and see, this is the body of a Jew, this is the body of a non-Jew. Doesn't mean Hashem doesn't create the non-Jewish bodies. Hashem creates the non-Jews. Hashem loves the non-Jews also. Not the same way Hashem loves the Jews. Matter of fact, on Yom Kippur afternoon, we read the Haftorah called Maftir Yonah, the story of Yonah and the fish and so on, famous story. The story of Yonah is that Hashem sends the prophet Yonah to a city called Nineveh, which is in Iraq today. And Hashem sends them because he doesn't want the non-Jewish world of Nineveh destroyed. He wants them to do teshuva. And Yonah is upset. Why are you, Hashem, why are you taking so much effort for the non-Jews? Just kill them. And Hashem says, what do you mean? I created them. They're my creation. A whole parable with a kikayon tree. Another whole discussion for a different time. Hashem loves the non-Jewish world, and we are commanded to be also in the same teaching the non-Jewish world, the seven mitzvahs of Noach, and so on. But let's not get confused. The non-Jewish world is not the Jewish world. Hashem loves the Jews with a greater level of love. Hashem imbues the body of the Jew with a different level of spiritual energy. It's only nidme bechumriyoso. It's only appearing from the outside. When you do a physical exam, the body of the Jew and the body of the non-Jew looks the same. Not when you do a spiritual exam. Not when you look at the spiritual energy. Again, this is not a negative statement. It's a statement of Hashem's choice. If a non-Jewish person wants to become a Jew, you convert. And you get that energy. Some of our greatest teachers became Jewish. Rabbi Akiva's parents were Gerim. Uncleus was a Ger, the language of Rambam. This is Rambam pointing out somehow some of our greatest Gerim, rabbis and scholars and leaders and teachers were converts. So this is not at all a thing. It's simply a statement of reality that we Jews should know the truth, that we are chosen by Hashem, not just in our neshamas, in our souls. Our bodies are different. And again, Goy wants to become a Jew. Gesunter hate, you get that energy too. But that is a fact. So when we say this in the bracha before the Shema in the morning, again, we're talking about the second bracha and how Hashem loves us. Hashem squeezed his energy, as infinite energy into a finite space, meaning this physical world. Hashem chose us on the physical level, which body should be a Jewish body. Hashem brought us near to us, near to him. You have brought us near to give thanks. And what does it mean to give thanks? Alter Rebbe says, we're going to talk about it elsewhere. This quality of lehodot, to have the capacity of complete abnegation. Abnegation is just a fancy English word that means completely to absorb yourself in something greater. The non-Jewish world, and the Alter Rebbe says this in the first chapter in Tanya, doesn't have this capacity. Whatever a non-Jewish person who's not Jewish does, the greatest self-sacrifice, it's for the purpose of greater good. The world should be better. I should be have peace. It's not for only the creator. Non-Jew is not created with this capacity. We have the capacity of abnegation, of completely giving ourselves up. And liachetcha, this of course leads to proclaiming your oneness, to be absorbed in his blessed unity, as been explained above. When we meditate on these concepts, and we think about the relationship that Hashem, the greatest, it was an understatement, the creator of the world, wants to have with each and every one of us, and we think about it just for half a moment, and we could actually focus just for half a moment on this. What does it lead? It leads a thinking person will reflect on these things, and then as water mirrors the image of a face, we will spontaneously be kindled with love for Hashem, who will clothe itself in a spirit of benevolence, willingly to fulfill this first pasuk of the Shema. You don't have to work on it anymore. And then it's automatic to lay down your life if necessary, resolutely abandon everything everything a person possesses. It will no longer be of major importance. What is a person going to want? To stick to Hashem, to be connected with Hashem. And we say in a manner of nishik, in a manner of kissing, attachment of rucha, rucha, we explained this earlier, that this is a complete poetic way of saying two entities coming closer to each other and uniting with each other. How does this happen? Alter Rebbe says, so fine. So now the person is all excited. Now you're all excited. You realize Hashem loves you. And you realize that Hashem has done incredible, incredible sacrifices on his own part, taking his energy and squeezed it into the physical world and chosen us and all kinds of stuff. And now we say, wow, that's amazing. I'm there. Now, what, how can I do it? Well, the Torah says very clearly, how can you do it? Study Torah. You want to be connected with Hashem? We've gotten you all excited. Now you want to be connected? Study Torah. This refers to immersing oneself in the study of Torah. As we say in the beginning of the Shema, as explained in Eitz Chaim, the work by the Arizal's great student, Reb Chaim Vital, the writings of the Arizal, the union of kissing, which is a poetic way of saying the attachment of spirit to spirit, is essentially the union of Chabad with Chabad. That means our understanding, taking our look, our understanding, look at the world, and making that, remaking our own look in the world, that it should be Hashem's look at the world. So when we look at the world, it's not us looking, it's Hashem looking at the world. Torah looking at the world meaning our entire compass, our moral compass, our intellectual compass becomes the compass of Torah, because we have so much absorbed the lessons, the message, the values of Torah into ourself, that this is the ultimate union with Hashem. We concentrate on Torah, and of course, then with our mouth, we also speak the words of Torah. This is the category of speech. So we have the category of thought, where we're thinking the words. Our brain is already working a different way, thinking a on a Torah level, and our mouth is speaking the words of Torah. And then, of course, we proceed from that to fulfill the obligation. The Alter Rebbe says, it's not just by meditation and deliberation. We speak the words of Torah. That's actually an action. And of course, ultimately, the purpose is that Hashem's presence should be revealed, that we should be acting in the physical world in such a way that everybody around us should see that who is the boss, who is our boss, and therefore who is the real boss of the world is Hashem. And this is ultimately the purpose of all of the energy of Hashem, which comes from level to level, in order that this physical world, which is a place of darkness, a place of negativity, a place of evil, it should become instead a place of light, a place of sweetness, as we previously said, And this, of course, is the purpose that we are created. And therefore, if you want to really give Hashem's, fulfill Hashem's plan, that's the purpose. In the negativity, that's the place that Hashem wants us to introduce holiness and sweetness. Of course, the elevation comes through Maya Nukvin, which means that Hashem says we have to do us first. We have to start a little bit. When we start, then Hashem responds. And we start with Mesiras Nefesh, with surrendering our desires to Hashem. So if you want something and you don't do it, that's called Mesiras Nefesh, giving up your desire. And when we give up our desire, then Hashem responds and Hashem gives us his energy in response.